Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, March 12, 2018, and with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. How's it going, Brian?
Daylight savings time is of the devil. It is ridiculous. Man. Did you know, Jeff?
Tell me, Brian.
Deaths in hospitals increase in the week after daylight savings times. People die for this ridiculous, stupid thing that should never have existed.
I don't believe
traffic accidents increase.
I don't believe any of that.
What is it? The stats show it.
What do you mean you don't believe it? It's something to do with longer hours in a day or something.
No, it's so people don't get enough sleep. Your sleep patterns are disrupted. Why are we disrupting sleep patterns?
What does that have to do? By the way, this is John Marchellaro. Good morning.
Good morning, John.
How does that have anything to do with dying or?
Because people make mistakes. Actually, there's two reasons. two reasons. One, people are having more accidents, taking them to the hospital. And two, doctors make mistakes because we're not getting enough sleep.
So there have been many studies that show that doing the switch to daylight saving increases depression, increases risk of heart problems, and the number of deaths immediately following the switch does increase. And I know there are studies that say, hey, you know, this helps with power.
It doesn't. Needs. It does not.
But there's also more reports that say exactly that. It does nothing to help with power.
Save energy.
Yeah.
It's a social thing. You don't want your kids waiting for the school bus in the winter in the dark.
But that's nonsense, too. The whole thing is just nonsense.
So here's my feeling. What we need to do is pick one, either standard time or DST. And it seems
Arizona does that.
Generally speaking, people, at least in Colorado, would prefer it to be DST. Yeah. And then we just standardize and call it done.
Yeah, as long as we're not changing, it's fine.
Yeah, just pick one.
The question is, do you want the stars to be out when you go to work in the morning, or do you want the stars to be out when you get out of work at night? That's the question.
And
it's going to be one or the other.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what the time is. And of course, John, that also assumes that people all work on the same schedule. And yeah, that's not the sort of economy we have around the world anymore.
I know.
So, yeah. Anyhow, man, I have a horrible time with this daylight saving change thing.
Sorry for the epic derail, but this is like let's start a new hashtag trend right now. The last DST.
I wonder if it's already a hashtag. It should be. Hold on, I'm writing it down. The last DST. And Brian, I'm thinking that's going to be an awesome title for a short story that you write. I don't know exactly what happens in the short story.
DST was overturned in Congress. Finally, the end.
Hooray! I love this story. You're going to get a Hugo. All right. Well, we might as well hop into other topics. So let's talk about HomePod today. And specifically, I'm really curious, John, why you aren't enamored with this new HomePod, I'll call it extended commercial mini movie that Spike Jones did, right?
I don't remember.
And
I do remember that it seemed like an excessively dance-oriented focus for the kind of customer Apple was aiming at.
Yeah, pretty sure she got on your lawn, too.
Okay, so...
No, I mean, it's well-conceived, it's well-produced. There's two things about it that struck me. One is that Apple can't seem to get off the dance kick. It's been writing it for a long time, as author Ken Segal points out.
Yeah, dancing was the original ad style for the iPod.
Yeah, and there's a legacy.
And one could argue for the for one of the iMacs.
Segal points that out, that it was a legendary theme when it came to exciting young people about having an iPod in their pocket and a thousand songs in their pocket and so on, so on. But my first blush reaction to the commercial was, one, it didn't show much of the product. Two, it didn't make you want the product. And three, it seemed out of sync with the person who had enough money to buy, expendable income, to buy
one disposable income.
Disposable income to buy one of these things, who would be somewhat of a older person who would have a little bit more disposable money and be more music. Well, audiophile, that's the word I'm looking for, oriented as opposed to music in your head oriented. So that was my first blush reaction. Brian, it's your turn to claim Balderdash.
Well, here's the thing is that I think that I think this commercial wasn't for you.
No, definitely not.
Well, but that doesn't mean that it wasn't a good commercial, and it doesn't.
Well, if it's not for me, it's not for anyone, right?
Well, sure.
Yeah, well, sure.
It turns out that none of the three of us are in a desirable demographic anymore.
And yet, two of us bought a HomePod.
Right, for sure. And to John's point, we also have the disposable income to get one.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, John does have a good point. And listen, I am seldom want to be in the position of arguing with Insegal. He's awesome. But in this particular case, this commercial is beautiful. It is magical. FKA Twigs is she's popular. She's this amazing dancer. The video itself is just beautiful. Thing, and
you find yourself admiring the dancer. You find yourself admiring the production values. You find yourself admiring the concept of the commercial more than thinking about the product and its usefulness to you.
But how is that any different than what did work for the iPod? What does?
Well, I kind of mentioned that obliquely in the article. So many people have smartphones. If you want to listen to music, music is everywhere. There's Pandora, there's Apple Music. There's all these different music services. You've got your iPhone, you've got music galore. We've been doing iTunes. By the way, Kelly notes that every time she quits iTunes on her Mac, another angel gets its wings.
Yes.
But return from subroutine. If you want to get people excited about music, then you get them excited about playing music and using their iPhone or their iPod to play music, because music is a thing in our culture. But if you're trying to get somebody to think about buying a $350 iPod, you have to kind of ease into a sort of a business proposition. Like, here's why you should. I'm already a fan of music. I love music. I've got thousands of songs on iTunes. Tell me why I need to spend $350
on. Oh, my God. You want Apple to do an explaining video? Come on, man. No way. Listen. Listen. What this video shows is that the HomePod makes your world bigger. And it just fills your world with music and fun and dancing. And
that's to Steve Jobs' own uncomfortableness with some of the early commercials that didn't show the product.
And yet they weren't.
Okay, so look at Apple's marketing for so many of their products, including the iPhone, where they don't even tell you this is an iPhone ad. They show you people using the product and they're going for an emotional pull. And they do that very well. So, perfect example, the Christmas iPhone commercial that made people cry, where the kid, everyone thinks he's just absorbed in his phone, but what he's really doing is capturing all the video, and at the end he shows everyone the family holiday video, and it's this emotional thing.
That was a good commercial.
That was a good commercial, and they never said iPhone. And
because iPhone's been around for 10 years, HomePod is brand new.
And it's emotional. This is emotional.
It was an emotional spot. But I think, but I do think that it did very, very well do the thing that John interrupted me saying is show how the HomePod makes your world bigger in a very visceral and real sense.
Well, they tried to get around to that in the commercial a little bit by having these expanding walls, where there was a sort of implicit visual message there that the HomePod expands your audio space.
See, and I saw it as an emotional expanding, because she starts the video depressed and sad, and everything is gray and drab. And then she asks her HomePod to play something she would like. And then the colors start spreading out and the space grows and it becomes this emotional thing about her expansion out of and moving out of that depression into the bright, colorful happiness and contentment that we see by the end of the commercial.
Well, I think what also bothered me is the underlying theme that there are so many commercials with a sort of empty promise. And we're accustomed to watching commercials on TV where an atmosphere is created or an emotion is created, and then the product doesn't live up to that. And so when you see a commercial that says this product is going to take you from a depressed state to an open, happy state, and it's going to start you dancing, you have to wonder whether that's hype and production values and cool advertising, or whether it somehow relates back to the quality of the product, which is undefined.
You're too literal sometimes.
I am a physicist.
Yes, and I'm not saying that in a negative way, but in this case,
that's my
I think it's hampering your ability to see this commercial for what it is.
I could be. You know, this is one of those cases where I'm open to being persuaded by you guys. But that was my first blush in on the.
So really, John,
is an opinion piece, right?
I've been mostly just funning with you here, poking the bear as it were. But I think that this is a commercial that's not aimed at us, and that's okay. Listen, let me confess something. I didn't know who FKA Twigs was. I'm a musician. I feel like I'm probably a lot more up on popular music than most people our age, but I didn't know who she was, and I had to get Andrew to add it to the article because I don't know who she was. And Andrew didn't add it to the article because he just figured everybody knew who she was. Well, do you see my point there? So I mean, like this, this is a piece that isn't necessarily aimed at us, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. And I think a lot of people are going to get what the piece is or what the ad is.
Oh, and the cool thing is that
afford the HomePod though. I mean, they've already got 1,000, they've already got 10,000 songs in their pocket with an iPhone. So close the deal. Why I need something more than my AirPods and my iPhone.
Because it makes FKA Twigs dance.
Yeah. And having learned who she is and looked her up, she's freaking awesome.
Yes, she is. So I think we've come to the consensus that Brian, you and I are right, and John is wrong.
John is right.
Food for thought.
John is very right about a couple of things. It's the disposable income thing, I think, is very relevant, mm-hmm. right? It's this commercial seems like it may have been aimed at young people who may not necessarily have the money to buy this device. And John is also, pointing out that there's a good segment of the population that this commercial wouldn't appeal to.
And
other than that, he's wrong.
And maybe Apple will come out with a commercial that appeals to that part of the audience or demographic later on or not. We'll see.
I understand your perspectives, and I'm open to the idea of being persuaded. So, cool.
All right. Well,
rock on, brother.
Now that we've clearly convinced John, I still want to talk about the HomePod, but I want to talk about it from the perspective that John Keat had. This would have been on Friday. Excuse me. He says that it's time for HomePod to become a cross-platform device, meaning that it works with platforms outside of Apple's own ecosystem. And when it does, it'll become the next iPod. And by that, he doesn't mean you're going to get really big honking pockets to put this in, but that it's going to take off and become popular in the same way the iPod did.
I love John Keith, but he's wrong.
Why?
Why is he wrong?
It's not Apple's job to create consumer electronics devices that bend over backwards to comply with all the open standards, support all the different music, to comply with all the different communication transmission protocols of sound. You just get into a rat's nest. Apple builds a product that is in its own image, that works with its infrastructure, that supports Apple's agenda and creates a service and a product that supports Apple's image and revenue desires. And that's the way they always do it.
if that were the case, why did the iPod ever add Windows support?
Let me introduce you to my friend iPod. And note that iPod didn't take off until it was ported over to Windows.
Again, that's because everybody wants and loves music. Not everybody needs the HomePod.
But it was the same with the iPod. Not everyone needed one. I mean, there were people that were still, as crazy as it sounds, happy to walk around with a Walkman.
We went through but as soon as Apple produced the iPod, people started.
No.
They could.
No. Apple produced the HomePod, and it was
the iPod. Deemed
what'd I say?
You said HomePod.
Oh, interesting. Apple introduced the iPod, and it was a mild seller. And when Apple ported it over to Windows, it was a huge seller.
I know, but that's because we were in the midst of a revolution where you could carry around a cassette and listen to 10 songs at a time.
No, Apple created that revolution, but the revolution didn't actually happen until it was ported to Windows.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I said that
I accept your apology.
The revolution of the idea of having this little electronic device that could have thousands of songs in your pocket and the random access to it was such a cultural change that Apple had to extend it to Windows.
So I'm trying to wrap my head around this. Are you saying that if Apple extends HomePod to support Windows, that
or Android. Android's more reasonable.
Or Android. It will not increase sales.
I don't think so.
Nah.
I'm finding this absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, that's weird. So, I mean,
go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Read an article on Friday that said that the sales of the HomePod have been less than stellar. That doesn't necessarily mean Apple needs to extend to Android. It just means that the concept of the product is so focused on the Apple customer that it doesn't necessarily have to bend over backwards.
Well, so people are also saying iPhone X sales are less than stellar, and yet it is proving to be the most popular seller in many markets.
Well, we know
that. And Apple's customers.
I know the iPhone X has been popular.
John, Apple Music exists on Android. Apple has customers on Android. Why not make it possible for them to play music on a HomePod?
What would they have to do technically?
Probably to support Bluetooth. To your point, it wouldn't necessarily be the seamless experience that it is with iPod. And it's very possible, John, that everything you're saying is from that standpoint, from not being able to make the Apple customer experience exactly as magical as it should be on Android would be the reason why Apple doesn't want to do it. And if that's so, you're right. And, we're wrong and John's wrong. John Keat. But I personally imagine that opening it up to Android would in fact increase sales and possibly even reignite that halo effect.
All right. So here's how I see Apple making this as seamless as possible on Android. Of course, in the Apple ecosystem, you turn on the HomePod and your iPhone is nearby and everything's done. What they could do on Android is say, launch the Android Apple Music app. Now you plug in your iPhone or your HomePod, and then the Apple Music app talks to the HomePod and does the rest of the setup. So you have to launch an app first as opposed to just simply hold your phone next to it. But then at that point, you're done. So it's not quite as transparent as it would be with an iPhone, but it would still be pretty simple. So I'm with you, Brian. I think that expanding HomePod support to other platforms would benefit Apple as far as their sales go for this device.
All right. So now let me play devil's advocate and actually take up John's case.
Okay.
How does Siri work with HomePod, with Android?
It doesn't need to, because you're talking to the HomePod. You're not talking to the phone.
And building on that, Apple itself said this thing is all about the music. And if I'm an Apple Music user on Android, so back to actually taking up John's case. It is conceivable that Apple isn't worried about increasing sales on HomePod, that they are actually just quite content to sell to those of us who were early adopters, gather data, get Siri data, figure out how people are actually using it, where they're using it, that sort of thing.
Sort of like what they did with the iPod?
Well, no.
I don't see them as parallel. Back to my argument in the first segment of the show. You know, it's one thing to have a music revolution with all these songs in your pocket. It's another thing to have a product that's an intelligent speaker sitting on a desk. It's a different way of thinking. I imagine that a lot of people are asking themselves, why do I need a HomePod? I've got an iPhone. I've got AirPods. I've got headphones. I've got iTunes on my Mac. I've got iTunes. I've got Music Player on my phone. What's the angle here?
Well, for a lot of people, it's that they want to have that higher fidelity speaker in their home. It's not about what's in their pocket. It's about what they're hearing when they're at home.
We already know that a vast segment of the population is all too happy to watch miniature 2-inch videos on their phone instead of on a 55-inch plasma.
And yet they have a 55-inch plasma as well.
Well,
so Brian,
home theater is an audio video file thing for people who are homeowners, for people who live in apartments, or living at home. Maybe personal ownership of a home theater is not such a big thing. We know that.
You haven't been in a lot of the apartments around here. Seriously, a lot of the apartments around me, the televisions are so oversized for the space they're in. It's insane. But that's not really the point. But I get what you're saying. And Brian, when you hopped over to John's side, and I'm looking at the time and we're over, so we're going to have to wrap up. But when you hopped over to John's side and started talking about Apple keeping all of this in its own ecosystem, I think you nailed exactly why they're doing it. That it's because, as Dave Hamilton said, we are the beta testers. Mm-hmm. And so Apple has this smaller controlled group where they can.
But less about the music and all about Siri. We're the beta testers for Siri, not necessarily the music.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Apple uses us as beta testers, and they figure out how we really are using this device. They make software improvements, maybe at some point hardware improvements, and then maybe eventually it opens up to other platforms.
So yeah, that's possible.
That's what I'm thinking is going to happen. So for now, John, you get to have a short-term win where HomePod stays close to Apple's ecosystem. And then at some point down the road, John Keat gets to gloat and say, see, I was right, when it opens up to other platforms.
Could very well be.
Yeah. So as Dave Hamilton loves to note, everyone gets a trophy. And we are way over time, so we need to wrap up.
Yeah, Brian, you may not be paying enough attention to Dave when he's saying that, because he's not gloating.
Oh, I know Dave isn't gloating. Yes.
Anyway, thanks for having me. It's good to be here, man. I'm sorry for derailing us like multiple times.
That's all right. It was a fun ride. I felt in a way as if I were Mr. Toad. So thank you for being here. And
hashtag the last DST.
That's right, the last DST. John, thank you for being here as well.
I feel so fortunate that I got through an entire episode with no balderdash pronounced.
Yeah, well, that,
man, I'm falling down on the job.
I just assumed you were working on expanding your vocabulary, Brian.
I thought it. I just didn't say it. Actually, I almost said it at one point, but you started talking. Oh, does that count, John?
No.
Well, there's always next show. All right. And listeners, thank you for being here. I hope you enjoyed the wild ride as much as I did. Thanks for listening. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.